Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 90 degrees here at 308 on this Monday, July 28th, 2025. Last week of July, you better crank out the summer because it's dwindling fast. How's everybody doing? Hopefully your weekend was good. It was a long drive this weekend for me. We left Friday right after the show, 7.5 hours down to Virginia, and came back, got in last night. Hit some treacherous storms. It didn't look like it was too bad up here, but I know some boomers went through up here. But, man, in the Delaware area, missed most of it till we hit the Wilmington-Delaware area between Dover and Wilmington. And then southern Pennsylvania in the Philadelphia area. Unfortunately, did see a fatal motorcycle crash. Three motorcycles, one individual. The other two riders were up speaking to the first responders that were there. But it was coming down. At one point, as we were driving back, the lanes were pretty much all flooded on the highway, to the point where it took my car, and if I did not have both wheels on the steering wheel, it would have sent me into the center median, which was grass and filled with water. But it was crazy to be driving that on a motorcycle. It looks like that they were trying to find a safe haven off an exit and did lose control of one of the bikes. And unfortunately, it was a fatal accident that, first responders, a few of them were there, but it was still a crime scene when we got by. But other than that, people were taking it slow because the roads were washed out and there was, looked like small streams flowing down the middle of, that's like a mix of 95 there and a couple other highways that merge in that very location before it splits off again into different areas heading to New Jersey or New York or Philadelphia. But other than that, it was about a half hour of some treacherous driving. We did hit a little more rain, like I said, in the Philadelphia area, but other than that, it wasn't bad, just long. For less than 48 hours being in Virginia Beach, 15 and a half of that was driving. So I could easily say I'm more tired now on Monday than when I left on Friday, so I did not get anything done at home. We'll have to figure out how I'm going to cut the grass this week. But if that's the worst of my problems, yes, I know. I've got it pretty well, and I do. So hopefully you did some things this week, and it was hot. I mean, the field-like temperature in Virginia Beach was 106 degrees. Not that we spent any time on the beach or doing any of that stuff, but just going from point A to point B, man, it was hot. Just reiterated to my wife, this is why we don't want to live here, because it's just too darn hot. But it's not that cool here either. When we got home Sunday night, I did realize that there were about 2 inches down on my pool just through evaporation and real no rainstorms up by us that kind of equal it out. So I did have to top the pool off this morning. But that's a lot of evaporated water, and that's how hot it's been by us here. And it's going to continue through the week. It is, the middle of summer, right? End of July, early August. It's when we usually get those temperatures. It's really not doing much for my lawn, though. I was hoping it would start slowing down the growth, but it really didn't look like it's done much. But hopefully you had a great weekend. Hopefully you did some things. It looks like when we were discussing on Friday, a lot of you had plans that you were going to do. Hopefully some of you were going to see the Savannah Bananas. Let us know if you went to that and how that was. I did see some social media posts by them, and it looks like it was a good time. And if you've never seen the Savannah Bananas, I highly recommend it. It is extremely entertaining. It's great for the entire family. You will have a good time. So I highly recommend it. It was great to see some people in our area, some listeners that were headed down to see that. But looking at some text messages that are coming in already now here. One of the first stories that I want to talk about here, and it's coming out of the Associated Press Health News. I do believe that the Times Tribune also picked it up, but it's coming from the Associated Press Health News, where teens are saying that they are turning to AI for friendship. Teenagers are increasingly turning to AI for advice, emotional support, and decision-making, according to a new study. And I cannot listen. Artificial intelligence is a tool, just like your screwdriver, just like a hammer, just like your calculator, just like your car. It's a tool to get you from point A to point B. Artificial intelligence, Siri, of course, my phone's and my iPad's going off now. Grok, all these, ChatGPT, all these devices that are out there, everything has AI integrated. Google AI has it has everything integrated in it now. It is not your friend. It is not there to give you advice. It's there for you to do research as a tool. The fact that we have young adults, and I would imagine this is not just regulated to young adults. I would imagine there's a lot of other people that are taking advantage of this. If you research into the AI realms, it is taking on every sector of everything when it comes to technology. And that goes from the pornographic industry to movies to the internet and you name it. I mean, we've seen these cheap fake videos and these Bigfoot AI videos that we talk about and alien videos that are hilarious, but you know exactly what they are. They're entertainment. You know, it's to make you smile. It's to make you laugh. It's not there to be your friend. It's a dangerous road to go down to have these tools like AI be your child's friend or your child to believe that this is their friend, that they are literally asking advice from AI how to do things. Now, no, you could do research, and I implore you, parents, make sure you use the proper terminology. And I'm not saying steer your kids away from AI. Again, it's a tool. It's a useful tool, just like a calculator, just like a textbook, just like anything else. But there is no misnomer on what it actually is and is not. And taking place of human contact, taking place of friendships, will do nothing but isolate a child more and put an awkwardness into their development in socializing with other people around them. So to hear this, it really made me pause for a second how dangerous this could be on a macro level, because this will affect not only their social skills, but their relationships moving forward, their relationships with you. I mean, if they feel more comfortable asking AI for advice than their parents or their older siblings or anyone else, especially when AI is not 100% correct. You know, we had a story here, my Today in History from last week, where they gave a date on the inception of the Boy Scouts. Well, they were sort of right, but they were sort of wrong. The inception of the Boy Scouts was actually in February, not in July, like my Today in History came up and tell me, because I do use AI to help generate Today in History. I'm not pulling out history books and researching stuff. You know, AI is a good tool to do that. And I usually bounce it forth between two different programs, Grok and ChatGPT, and they neither one caught it. And when I questioned them, because I did question AI, that, hey, you told me the Boy Scouts were founded July, whatever the date was last week. It was really February, whatever the date was. And AI's answer was, I'm sorry I gave you the wrong information. That was it. I mean, I'm not really expecting them to do much more than that, but, you know, there's what more can they do? They were wrong. So, again, AI is a tool. But this story, and I'm going to post this story on my social media because I think parents need to read it. If you're a parent of a college and lower grade student, you should really be looking at this. You know, 15-year-old asked ChatGPT for guidance on back-to-school shopping, makeup colors, low-calorie choices at Smoothie King, plus ideas for her sweet 16 and younger sister's birthday party. That's doing research. That's not using ChatGPT as your friend. A sophomore honors student makes it a point not to have chatbots do her homework and tries to limit her interaction to mundane questions. But in interviews with the Associated Press, a new study, teenagers said that they are increasingly interacting with AI as if it were a companion. capable of providing advice and friendship. And that's where this goes astray. That's where this goes wrong. And I'm glad they started with this honor student that was talking about research. You know, asking about back-to-school shopping, asking about makeup colors for a different criteria once you put that in and give it to it. You know, low-calorie choices at Smoothie King. Those are things that AI should be used for. It's research, not friendship. And that line needs to be drawn. And if you find that any youth in your ecosphere is using AI, is using a lot of things like that to replace friendship, you need to start gently either parenting or intervening. Because it will hurt social skills if they become dependent on it. Listen, these devices, these supercomputers in the palm of our hand or on our desktops or our pads or whatever we have that we use, some of them have all three that I just named, some of our kids, very young kids. They need to be taught from a very young age that this is a tool. It's a research tool. It's not to replace friendship. You go outside to see your friends. You go talk to your friends. You intervene issues and negotiate life out in the real world, not using ChatGPT. Is it a tool that makes things easier? Yes. But if surveys are coming out that people are becoming more dependent on replacing personal interaction with humans to ChatGPT, A, because it's easier, B, because you don't get pushed back or called out or questioned on anything like that, it becomes the path of least resistance. And it's truly, A, was never meant to do that, but can it? I mean, we're making robots that look like your perfect man or woman. You see it all the time. We're making these robotic dolls that will be your dream person and that will answer your every beck and call and be a whiz at anything knowledge-wise because they're integrated with AI. That's not the real world. That's not how the real world acts. And if you are someone, even a young adult, who has someone like that, has the money and the ability to set up that around you, how are you going to navigate and deal with real woman in, let's say, a bar or a supermarket or anything like that, that acts and has their own mind and has their own emotions? And it's a path for failure is what it is. But if it's used as a tool to help make your life easier in the real world, and that's all it was meant to do, then so be it. But this is the early warning sign of make sure you're parenting or make sure you're adulting when you need to parent an adult, especially in situations like this. If you see for a moment that technology is taking over human interaction with your children, you need to intervene, maybe set some limits, maybe set some time frames on when they can have their devices, when they can't, and get them involved in the real outside world. Get them involved in a sport. Get involved in an art club. Get involved in a music instrument. Get involved in something that they can go out and deal with other people and deal with that. Because this can go down a very scary road, and we're very early in this artificial intelligence realm. But the results, if it goes unchecked, could be devastating. It's 321 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 324, 90 degrees outside on this Monday, July 28th. So, first and foremost, what in God's name is going on with 81? Especially up north of Dixon City, north of Scranton. They have torn up, they have repaved and torn up 81, both north and south, more than a dozen times at this point. They're closing lanes in both directions. Even yesterday on a Sunday, they had one lane closed all the way from the Troop till about just past Dixon City, just before, actually it was up past Clark Summit. The amount of money they have spent, and I understand this was under the big, you know, infrastructure bill that was out there, but what a waste. And how come we're not reading or seeing what was done wrong, why this is being done over and over and over and over again? because it has to be costing us, the taxpayer, million, if not billions of dollars. I mean, just in our section of 81 from, let's say, Dunmore Troop up to the New York border. I mean, literally, they have paved and ripped this up dozens of times in different locations. And now they're doing it again. So it's crazy. And you know what? They're not doing this for free. And if someone screwed up, and a contractor or a company that's doing this, and it's not PennDOT, these are all independent contractors that are doing this work. So did they screw up, and is it on them to fix it? Is the taxpayer footing an extra bill? I find it hard to believe that this company has been out here time and time again to keep repairing work that they're not doing correctly, or maybe they did do correctly and things have changed, or we don't know because no one's telling us anything. All I know is that they repaved 81 beautifully a year or two ago, and they've torn it up in sections dozens of times, and now they're doing it again. So at some point, we have to realize that this is just throwing money out the window for the taxpayers. Then you have the State Department of Transportation will begin a paving project starting today on roughly a mile of Route 11 in the Notch, where South Abington Township meets Scranton, with lane restrictions planned to accommodate this work. But what PennDOT is doing is they're using something they've never done before. This is the first time they're doing this in the state. It's called a Cape Seal process for the pending projects, which will be the department's first completed Cape Seal in the state when the work wraps up next month, according to a press release. It describes a Cape Seal as treatment as more cost-effective than traditional paving. The pavement preservation technique will seal the existing road surface and extend its life by protecting the pavement from moisture and deterioration. It'll also increase traction on the surface itself, PennDOT said. Well, hopefully they took care of the runoff issues that get washed out every time we have a bad storm at that area, too. The project includes a single application of seal coat followed by a double application of micro surfacing, a thin layer of asphalt that extends the life of the roadway, according to the release, which notes a fiberized seal coat will then be installed as part of the seal coat application on one lane in each direction of Route 11 to address cracking and increasing the life expectancy of the Cape Seal. The Cape Seal will begin with PennDOT department forces completing an application of the seal coat in one lane in each direction under the lane closures. Once these lanes are completed, the department contractor and department forces will place a fiberized seal coat in adjacent lanes. Following this seal coat application, the department contractor will complete a double application of thin asphalt coating all four lanes on Route 11. The micro-surfacing will be complete approximately 1 week after the seal coat to ensure that water has evaporated from the seal coat application. Again, this is the first time that PennDOT will be using this type of treatment in the state. So where are the guinea pigs here in northeastern Pennsylvania, especially the Notch there? So if you travel that area, text us in. Let us know how it's going. Motorists are advised to use caution when traveling in the project area and consider alternative routes if possible. The average daily traffic on Route 11 is 10,192 vehicles as per PennDOT. Listen, I hope this is successful. I hope it works. I hope it does increase the lifespan of this area. But when you hear experimental road treatments, or the first time it's being used, you have to be skeptic, especially when just right over to your left, if you're headed south, is 81 that they've repaved supposedly perfectly and then ripped up dozens of times. So forgive me if I don't have all the faith in the world in the systems that haven't been used in Pennsylvania yet. But I guess we'll see, because we are the state's guinea pigs. It is 3:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. 335 here, 90 degrees on this Monday, July 28th on the Rob O'Donnell Show. Somebody brought up the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Oh, I know. I was on the Turnpike from start to finish this past weekend. They are making some good progress just before the Philadelphia area, widening the road and getting some work done down here. I know up by us, there's a lot of construction going on. They are removing some of the toll booths in some places that have everything narrowed down to one lane. But, you know, on the Turnpike, I at least see progress. You know, I thought I saw progress when they repaved 81 and it was beautiful. And then they tore it up. And then they tore it up again. And then they tore it up again. Somebody said, you know, that they work for the city of Scranton. And I can't verify that one way or another. They said the potholes are not because they don't pave. It's because of dirty politics and horrible jobs that are done when they do pave. Well, I know the roads, the potholes are pretty bad. And if they were truly made a priority, I think they'd be in a lot better shape than they are. That heat index, the heat index that we're talking about that we've had here, and like I said, it was 106 in Virginia Beach when I was there this weekend. Well, it's taken over more than the nation right now. It's 116. These are feel-like temperatures. 116 in Tampa. They have the record right now. The East Coast looks like it's really getting the beating. But if you go all the way across the nation, Omaha, Nebraska, 108 degrees feels-like temperature today. Wichita, Kansas, 104. Oklahoma City, 103. Dallas, 104. College Station, Texas, 102. Corpus Christi, 106. New Orleans, 109. Jackson, Mississippi, 108. Little Rock, 109. St. Louis, 109. Nashville, 107. Miami, 103. Tampa, 116. Jacksonville, 111. Charleston, South Carolina, 114 degrees. Raleigh, North Carolina, 106. Washington, D.C., 101. Those are the feel-like temperatures across the nation. And, yeah, we're feeling them. And like I said, it was pretty darn hot to the fact that where I wanted to get the hell out of the sun. It was even, you know, we went out to get some food and some drinks, and I didn't even want to sit in the shade outside. I wanted to be inside in the air conditioning. It was just too hot for me. Too hot indeed. Let me go to the phone now. We have L from Wayne County on the roads. L.
Hi, Rob. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of things that we don't know or don't really think about until you talk to somebody that works and does the roads. I can't remember from what year to what year, but every single year they were doing my road where I lived. And finally, I ran into somebody. I think one day I just stopped when they were walking. I said, "What's going on?" I said, "Why are you paving this road year after year after year?" Well, the one time the guy said to me, "Well, we got new statistics that when we're doing these roads, there has to be like a footage of 8 inches of pavement." I said, 8 inches? I said, "That's ridiculous." I said, "This is a country road. Why are they requiring you to put 8 inches of macadam?" So anyway, long story short, he basically said, "We can't do anything about it. It's what they tell us has to be done, how it has to be done." So that was the 1 year. And I said, "Well, this is ridiculous." I said, "There's going to be such high berm on both sides." I said, "You're going to have to put so much crap on the sides. It's ridiculous, and it's going to cost you so much money to do that." But that's what they told me. So I don't know if that goes by county or if that goes by township or if that goes by PA. So that's one thing. Another thing is they may pave a road and it may be beautiful, but that doesn't mean it was done right. It doesn't mean that they followed all the different statistics they were supposed to follow. And even though it may be beautiful and it may be smooth as silk, it doesn't matter. If they didn't do it right, it's probably going to have to be ripped up. And I don't know who decides that.
Well, and people... I've heard those stories on 81 that some of the areas weren't thick enough. You know, they didn't get down to the basin areas. Okay, then. Well, where was the quality assurance when they were doing these work? Where are the officials that are supposed to be making sure that they are doing a proper job as it's going on, not wait till the entire job's done and then go out and inspect it and say, oops, you guys screwed up here, 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 and here. And then who's paying for that? I would imagine the request for bid and the specs and the engineering schematics would determine exactly what they need to do. And it's up to the people overseeing that job to make sure it's done in that manner. And if they catch them not doing it on a daily basis, they stop them and say, hey, you know, this doesn't match it up here. You got to start doing this different.
Now, there's one more thing, too, that maybe we're not thinking about. Once a job is done, just because maybe everything was perfect, right? The way it was supposed to be done and everything. I think they look back to see if that stretch that was done, if there were so many accidents at a certain point because of the material they used. And that's why when they'll macadam a road, and then they'll go back and they'll like tar and chip it also. And that has to do with how unpredictable our weather goes up and down all winter.
Well, tar and chip tar and chip is a garbage patch that they do because it's cheap and very ineffective, and that's why they have to do it all the time. But we shouldn't be tarring and chipping anything.
It is cheap, but in the winter when the road is really really a sheet of ice, and I was on, I think it was Route 348. One day I was coming home from my job. I worked it all night. I was coming home, and I was only going 10 miles an hour, and the roads were not treated, and I slid completely straight across the road into somebody's yard, okay? And then when PennDOT came, I said to the guy, I said, you guys need to treat these roads. And he says, yes, we do. And he was so embarrassed, you know? Because they just didn't get out there and treat them. I mean, I was only going 10 miles an hour. Thank God that's all I was going. I would have hit the tree that I landed 12 inches away from the trunk. So, you know, there's so many different things that you have to look at. And I would say doing the roads, paving them right, using the right materials, the right statistics and everything, I would say that's one of the harder jobs that has to be done. Because everybody uses these roads. Whether they're walking them, riding on them, everybody uses the roads, especially when you live in a rural area. So there's a lot of different things you have to think about.
I agree. That's why we're supposed to have people and engineers on staff that are supposed to think these things ahead of time and write them in the specs. Elle, you have a great night.
Thank you. You
All
also.
Right. Get a lot of text messages coming in. Yes, I hear you. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Let me tell you about the Good Feet store right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They make it easier than ever to feel your best, and they did for me. Listen, I walked in, took a free test walk. They took molds of my feet, imprints of my feet, met with them, decided what was best for what I was feeling and the issues I've had in the past. Listen, I've had nerve ablations. I've had surgeries. I've had the prescription insoles. They just didn't do it for me. My sciatic pain at one point a few years ago was so bad, I literally could not get out of bed some mornings. There was no waiting. The arch supports are immediately available, and they're proudly made in the here in the USA. And they've done wonders for me. I've had them for over 2 years. I switch them in and out of my shoes, the different types of shoes I have, sneakers. The best things that they provide also is the support in Brooks running shoes, which is what I really should be wearing all the time. But, you know, sometimes you got to wear dress shoes somewhere. Sometimes you have to wear your casual shoes. The insoles pop right out, pop right in. And they've done wonders for me. But if I forget them, I know it real quick. A couple hours walking on without my arch supports, and I'm in pain again. So you could check them out at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. That's what I did. You can call them at 570-534-0980 or check them out online at goodfeet.com because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. How am I supposed to interrupt that, Jay? Come on. Killing me. When rock and roll was rock and roll. When trains were made out of wood and men were made out of metal. There you go. It's 3:48 here, 90 degrees at WILK News Radio. So Trump strikes. Biggest deal ever made with the EU. Europeans will buy $750 billion in U.S. energy and invest $600 billion after the meeting between the head of the EU and President Trump this weekend. When they returned, Trump was triumphant. Europe agreed to pay to buy $750 billion in American energy products. Invest $600 billion in new money in the U.S. and purchase additional U.S. military equipment, according to the terms of the preliminary agreement. Boeing better get on the wagon. They just authorized a strike, even though there's a couple-day cooling-off periods, and they manufacture our F-18 Super Hornets. So tariffs on many American exports will drop to zero. Duties on most European goods coming to the U.S. rise to 15%. Level the playing field. Yeah, looks like it, exactly what it did. So the EU buys $750 billion in energy products, $600 billion in new investments. They agree to buy U.S. military equipment. Tariffs raised to 15% on most EU goods. European pharmaceuticals are not included. Steel and aluminum tariffs stay at 50%. In exchange, Trump agrees to not raise tariffs on the EU to 30%. Zero tariffs on all U.S. good exports to the EU. If this holds, this is a wonderful agreement. And there's a new poll out by the Wall Street Journal that I'm going to just briefly go over when we come back from the Bloomberg here. But I even saw some Democratic economists saying this is a good deal if it holds. And again, if it holds. Now, the 27-member bloc is America's biggest trading partner if taken together. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's coming up on 3:53 here. Still 90 degrees, so it's still hot outside. If you can find a place to cool off, if you have a pool, if you have a sprinkler system, do what you need to do. So the Wall Street Journal has this new poll out, and it's from July 16th to the 20th. The 1,500 registered voters. There's a margin of error of 2.5%, and it just shows Americans prefer Republicans over Democrats to handle most major issues. The economy, Republicans plus 12. Inflation, Republicans plus 10. Immigration, Republicans plus 17. Illegal immigration, Republicans plus 24. Tariffs now, and again, this was before this news today. This is the 16th to the 20th. Tariffs, Republicans plus 7 percentage points. Foreign policy, Republicans plus 8. And the Ukraine-Russian war, Republicans plus 5. So nowhere in the main issues, economy, inflation, immigration, illegal immigration, tariffs, foreign policy, and the Ukraine-Russian war, as per the Wall Street Journal, Republicans are all in the plus columns as far as the public, 1,500 registered voters, who they would most likely handle the major issues. So that's a lot in a positive direction. Again, that does not take into consideration the new news that came out today that Trump is cutting the 50-day time limit on Russia to a little over a week. I think he's given him now, what, 12 days? So that's going to be interesting to see what comes there. And he said, basically, you know, if they're not going to have any movement or change their mind on anything, then, you know, why wait 50 days? So we're going to institute tariffs and sanctions even sooner. And if they don't want to come to the table and start a pathway towards peace. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. There was also a story where a Delta Airlines pilot was arrested immediately after a flight. They actually came right onto the cabin before the plane even disembarked, which, based on some of the information that's coming out, okay, I understand why they didn't want to wait, but could you have waited for the plane to disembark? I mean, the pilot is not going anywhere. You could have stationed somebody there without anyone knowing it that make sure he didn't leave the cabin area until the plane disembarked. But while the plane was full, federal agents came in and arrested the pilot after landing his plane at San Francisco Airport. And it's interesting because they interview the one passenger on the plane that said, that likened it to the raids on illegal immigrants and how they felt unsafe. But it turns out, preliminarily, based on the information that's coming out now, it had to do with something about, it was a Homeland Security investigation, but it was about looking at the, to get the proper terminology here. It had to do with underage sexual material. So the Delta Airlines pilot was detained and hauled off a flight by the feds just moments after touching down in San Francisco, shocking passengers and plane crew alike, including the co-pilot, who was visibly shaken. I would imagine so. The pilot, whose identity has not been released, was arrested after incoming aircraft landed from Minneapolis and passengers were preparing to deplane just after 9:30 p.m. Saturday. Some on board said they were shocked in seeing at least 10 federal agents, including officers from Homeland Security, HSI, suddenly boarding the plane without explanation. The crew appeared equally in the dark, with the other pilot announcing that he had no idea what just happened. However, the dramatic arrest was tied to a disturbing investigation into child sexual abuse material, law enforcement sources stated. So they interviewed this woman, Sarah Christensen. She told the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, you got to realize they're in San Francisco. So, and the people flying to San Francisco. So this woman who they interviewed claimed that the agents stormed the cockpit and marched the pilot down the jet bridge. A group of people with badges, guns, and different agency vest markings were pushing their way up through the aisle to the cockpit, the passenger told the San Francisco Chronicle. Moments after being led away by an entourage of law enforcement, other group of officers came to cart his bags away, passenger said. Then the woman likened it to the ICE raids. And that we really don't know where they whisked this person away to. Well, if the person is being investigated and there's an arrest warrant for explicit child sexual material, are we fighting that now? And again, because of the demonization that's happened with these federal entities, HSI, ICE, federal agencies work together, and people don't realize that Homeland Security investigates a lot of that sort of criminal activity, underage sexual material, and such like that. They are working hand in hand with the ATF, with the FBI. That's why we've seen them on these ICE raids as well. But we've demonized the ICE agents so much now to where when they're taking someone, here's a pilot of a plane that just landed, but is under investigation and obviously enough to get an arrest warrant and probable cause to make that arrest, to send federal agents to, when he landed, pick him up. Then and there. And people are doubting the validity of what they did. I think we should all applaud that they're taking child sexual predators off the streets or off the aircraft, including the one that was flying your plane. And again, his criminal behavior probably has nothing to do with his skill of being a pilot. But how would you feel if the pilot of the plane you just landed on was arrested for explicit child pornographic material? I'd be pretty glad he was arrested if it was me. But we've demonized ICE in such a way now that people are questioning, you know, what they're doing, even after knowing it now. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.